So before we get into today's lesson, I wanted to take a quick moment just to let you know that if you are sensitive to more vulgar topics like we were talking about today, then this might not be the episode for you. We do not condone really using language like this. However, the reason that we're doing a topic on this word is because it is one that you'll find natives use all the time in different media, in your favorite TV series, movies, songs, and so on. So we do believe that it's important that you're able to understand, able to comprehend when you come across different uses of this word. So we'll be jumping all into that, and we hope that you find it useful.
Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real-life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
Yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and...
bitchin'
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're stuck in traffic, catching some rays at the beach, or even...
bitchin' about your English homework.
Oh yeah. I'm joined here in the global studio by the one, the only, Axel Pose, aka Thiago. How's it going?
Hey Ethan, I'm doing well.
Couldn't help but notice that you are sporting a very appropriate garb there, or we could say a nice t-shirt.
Ooh, garb. Garb. Is that t-shirt? Garb?
It's a piece of clothing. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And for people who maybe aren't familiar with it, I think like you'd have to be living in a cave to not be familiar with that image, but just in case someone is listening to us from the comfort of a cave, what is that that image on your shirt?
Oh yeah, I have here Walter White, Heisenberg from Breaking Bad, and his famous line, "I'm the one who knocks."
I am the one who knocks.
Yes. And the reason why that's a very appropriate piece of garb, piece of clothing, is because today we're talking all about the word bitch. So get used to listening to that word because we're going to be saying a lot throughout today's lesson. Again, it's not a word that we condone using a lot. There's obviously like a lot of political implications. It's not a word that's so nice in the way that it's been used in the past to refer to, especially to women, for example. However, it's been evolving and stuff with the language. There's many ways to use it that don't actually refer to women and so on. And we'll be exploring some of those different uses of the word today so that if you do encounter it when you're, you know, listening to a TV series or watching a series like Breaking Bad, which is, I completely went on a tangent there. The reason we brought up Breaking Bad is because the king of the word bitch, perhaps, Aaron Paul, who plays Jesse Pinkman on the show Breaking Bad, was just so famous for his iconic different uses of the word bitch. So that's why. So later in today's episode, we will be taking a look at some of Jesse Pinkman's uses of this word, because, you know, who better to learn from than the king himself? And, you know, we're going to be exploring all of these diverse uses, these diverse ways that we natives and native-like speakers might use this word. So that said, if you are new here, every single week we make lessons like this that help you to go beyond the classroom, learn different things that help you to better understand and use your English in real life so that you can go from being a frustrated, insecure English learner and become a confident, natural English speaker. So if that sounds like something that you want for your English, be sure to hit that subscribe button and the bell down below, and that way you won't miss a single new podcast lesson like this one. All right, so this very powerful word can be used as a noun, as a verb, as an adjective in different expressions. And one of the problems with it is that oftentimes it's misunderstood by non-natives. In fact, one of the things that I tend to see a lot of learners mistake, especially Spanish speakers, Portuguese speakers, right, is that they tend to translate it literally from their language, which the equivalent word might be puta. But I think a more appropriate translation of that word is prostitute, or we might use like a word like whore or something like that to refer to obviously a sex worker, a female sex worker. And bitch It can mean that, but it's very rare. It's like in 95% of cases, it actually means something else, right?
Yeah, that's true. And it's really interesting that you pointed that out because it's true. As a Brazilian, we do tend to think of this word as that meaning that you just gave. Yeah, mm-hmm. to refer to a prostitute. But actually, it's not quite that, as you said, in English. And there are so many other applications for this word that it can even be positive. There's even mm-hmm. a positive way to use this word. We're going to be covering that today. So
most definitely. So first, we should recognize the literal meaning of this word. So people tend to think of it as an insult, like first and foremost, but actually it comes from the word, the technical word for a female dog, which even I, as a native speaker, it took me like a long time to learn this. And the reason I learned it was because our family dog was pregnant. Actually, my dad wanted to have puppies for a really long time. And so he decided to breed our family dog. And I was about maybe 12, 13 or so. And I remember I was just like cracking up to myself. I was laughing a lot and I was reading some different articles about what you have to do when the dog is having the puppies and everything and different things that you can encounter, different things you should be prepared for. But it didn't say, you know, the dog. What it was saying over and over again was the bitch, which is actually the correct term to use when you're referring to a female dog. And you can find this actually commonly used in the theme of dog breeding.
Ethan, you used a nice word there. You said breed, right? I mean, what does it mean in mm-hmm. that context to breed a dog?
Yeah, so it means to reproduce. And if you're breeding, it's usually used with animals. It would sound kind of vulgar if you used it with humans. And it's with animals that usually you'll be combining, you know, two animals to have puppies or to have other sorts of baby animals. So in most cases, you're not actually going to hear this word being used to refer to female dogs unless you actually are in something like breeding. But there's all sorts of colloquial terms and so on. And something that's kind of fun is that we'll even play with this word. Like you might hear people say biatch, which is if you wanted to use this word, but use it in a softer way, the same way that we have words like damn, we might say dang instead of saying that, or instead of saying fuck, you could say like freaking or frick or something like that, which is a softer, not vulgar alternative.
I think I even heard in a movie, instead of son of a bitch, the character says son of a gun.
Son of a gun, yeah, yeah. That's a really great common alternative. A lot of learners might say, for example, that learning grammar is a bitch. So what do you think about that, Thiago?
Honestly, I don't understand why people think that learning grammar is a bitch. I mean, I love it so much, you know? It's so much fun for me. Yeah, as a matter of fact, we have recently done an episode where I actually share my feelings and my thoughts towards grammar, and I explain better why I love grammar and why studying grammar was beneficial to me, so you guys can check it out. We're going to leave the link to that episode in the description. But guys, come on, learning grammar is not a bitch. But you got to make grammar your bitch, all right?
So there's a couple expressions there, but we should first explain, what does it mean if you say that something is a bitch? Like here, learning grammar is a bitch if someone has those feelings.
Something is complicated. It's not easy. It's difficult, you know? It's just, it's hard. It's even annoying. Like, yeah, you can use that to express frustration. Like, oh, learning grammar is a bitch. Like, oh, it's so hard. It's so, mm-hmm. you know? Boring, yeah.
You could even hear it used to show sympathy, right? If, say, you were on your way to record the podcast and your car broke down, I could say, oh man, that's a bitch. Like, it's something really difficult. I am sympathizing with that difficult situation that you went through having your car break down, right?
So, I've heard life's a bitch also, yeah, with that
life's a bitch idea. Yeah. That's a common phrase to say if something bad happened, right? That you just say, oh man, life's a bitch. So changing here to a different expression, you said you got to make grammar your bitch. What does it mean if you make something or someone your bitch?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about something first. So mm-hmm. when you make something your bitch, like in this case, you make grammar your bitch, you own it, you master it. Mm-hmm. You are not controlled by it, you mm-hmm. control it. So making grammar your bitch in this context means you own it, you master it. Grammar is not this thing that you fear so much, you know?
I think using bitch in that way, it's not so vulgar, right? If you say make someone your bitch, that is quite vulgar. It's quite insulting. If you say that you're going to make someone your bitch, or you say someone is your bitch, it's quite insulting. And it means that you are, if you're making someone your bitch, you're making that person subservient to you, which in other words could be you're making that person, they're in your control. They have to listen to what you say. They're like your slave or your servant or something like that. So as you can see, it's not something nice to say to someone.
Again, the memory from series, right? I remember a clip just now from Friends. I don't know if you remember that clip. I mean, the girls, Rachel and Monica, they're fighting. Mm-hmm. And then Phoebe, you know, stops the fight, you know, by, I guess, you know, pinching them or something. And then they stop.
Grabbing their ears.
Yeah. Grabbing their ears, exactly. And then Phoebe says, oh, if we were in prison, you guys would be like my bitches.
There we go. Oh. You know what? If we were in prison, you guys would be like my bitches.
It's in prison is something that happens, right? Is there's like a hierarchical power system sometimes that can happen. So that's an ambit. It's an area where you could hear this word used. So obviously, you have to be careful with the word bitch, though, right? Because oftentimes, like with make someone your bitch, it can be insulting.
And we actually have a nice clip here that you brought up this week, right, Ethan, to illustrate how offensive it can be, right?
Exactly, yeah. One that is very memorable for me in the sense of it being something strong. And there can be rare occasions where, you know, it can be tasteful use of the word or a correct use of the word, in the sense that the example that I was going to give that came to mind for me is actually from Harry Potter, of all places, which I remember very clearly in the last book of and the last movie of the series, that believe her name is Molly Weasley, so Ron's mother, Beatrix Lestrange, who's one of the bad guys in this movie, is trying to attack her daughter. And so she very appropriately says, not my daughter, you bitch. And all the other movies, you know, you see it as the sweet motherly woman and everything. So it's just this shocking moment where she's using this word and someone's trying to kill her daughter. So it's like perfect moment to use that word.
Not my daughter, you bitch.
And we can also use it in the, like if we use it in the continuous, right? If we say like someone's being a bitch, it's slightly less offensive. Either way, it's very offensive, so be careful if you do use this. But if someone's being a bitch, instead of saying that person, we actually haven't even defined if we use it in the first way, like in Harry Potter, you're obviously saying that person is a bad person or they're evil or something along those lines. But if you say someone's being a bitch, usually it's more because they're in that moment, they're being annoying. You're not saying they're always a bad person. It's just in that moment, they're doing something that's annoying.
I love these little nuances, you know, like there is a clear difference, yeah, like between saying you are a bitch versus you are being a bitch. Mm-hmm. It's so interesting, these nuances, right?
It's, yeah, those subtleties of the language that can, it's something so small, but it can really change how the perceived comprehension is, right? So people tend to generally think of this for a woman, like a bitch is a woman, and you should not call a woman a bitch. We do not condone that. It's not a good thing. Sometimes, though, you could even hear this used to refer to a man. I remember a really great clip from The Simpsons where they're watching, I think it's like an award ceremony or something, and there's a man who's in the, who they're interviewing, and he's talking badly about, you know, another famous person, an actress. And Bart that's watching, he says, he's such a bitch, like, you know, saying that because he's gossiping, he's talking badly about this other person to everyone who's watching that award ceremony and everything. And so it's a very tactful use of the word there.
He's such a bitch.
Did you say tactful?
Tactful means if you do something with tact, you're doing it with taste. You're doing it in a way that's, you know, spot on. However, if you're referring to a man, it's more common than using bitch. You might use the word bastard, or you might hear that used more commonly to refer to a man. Something really important to be aware of with this is that if you are using any sort of cursing in a foreign language, you know, we grow up in our mother tongue in general, hearing our mothers, hearing our fathers tell us you shouldn't say this word, that's a bad word. So we have all this emotional and all these memories attached to those words that for most of us will act as a sort of filter of when it's okay to use this word and when it's not okay. And for the most parts, it's not okay to use these words. Of course, it depends your background, it depends on your education, it depends on even what part of a country you live in. People might use these words more or less. just I was telling Thiago earlier that there's like a dog mom, like, you know, I take Phoebe, my dog, out in the mornings, and sometimes there's a woman who also takes her dog out at the same time, and she's from the south of the UK, and I guess they must curse more in the south of the UK because she sometimes calls her dog bitch, and I don't think she's using it in the sense of like the technical term for a female dog. I think it's more like when her dog is doing something kind of you know, kind of naughty or something like that, something she shouldn't be doing. And so she uses to insult her dog.
There's another good word, naughty. What does it mean when a person is being naughty?
Well, often use this for children. For example, if a child is doing something that they know they're not supposed to do, but they're doing it because maybe they want to, you know, grabbing, like I know my nephew, for example, he'll grab like they have a pantry where they, and they keep all the things they don't want the kids to have, like candies and chocolates and stuff, up on a high shelf. And so he'll grab like the little step stool, a little ladder, and take it, carry it into there when no one's looking, and grab like the candies that he wants off at the top shelf. So that's a great example of being naughty, doing something he knows he's not supposed to do. And you were talking earlier about an example you had like this about a student, right? Who doesn't have so much of the emotional attachment with cursing in English.
Yeah. I mean, I remember this student of mine many years ago, he spoke amazing English. His English was awesome, you know, and he loved American stand-up comedians. So he will watch a lot of stand-up comedians, American, but there's a problem there. There was a problem because, you know, these comedians, they usually curse a lot or they swear a lot on stage. So because this student of mine was a big fan of these guys, I mean, he would speak cursing a lot himself. Like, you know, for every sentence he would say or he would speak, there was at least one curse word there. Yeah. And I don't know, maybe he didn't realize this, that he was cursing too much, or maybe he thought that he was being cool and funny like those American comedians that he loved watching. But maybe he didn't realize that if a native speaker heard him speak, maybe that person would find it maybe offensive because, you know, he just cursed too much.
Could say he had a sailor's mouth or a potty mouth.
What does that mean?
Apparently sailors must curse a lot because we have this expression, if someone curses all the time, like your student, we can say they have a sailor's mouth. And potty mouth, I mean, potty refers to the toilet. So when we say potty mouth, we'll usually use it more with children. And like maybe your mom might threaten you, I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap, you know, if you keep up with that potty mouth. So you have to be careful, right? Who's your influences in a language that you're learning, because maybe too, if your main source of English is coming from Breaking Bad, then you might think, oh, these natives, they use bitch all the time, so I can just use it. I can call my friends bitch. I can call these people that I'm mad at son of a bitch and stuff. And you need to, I brought up the word before, tact. You need to have a tactful use of cursing if you choose to curse. And you know, you don't really need to. I don't curse very often. Is this like something that you would ever use in your English, Thiago?
Not quite. You know, I was never a big fan of cursing myself, you know. While I understand those words when I watch something where somebody uses it, personally, I'm not a fan of using them. I think it's okay to curse in certain situations, you know, only in extreme situations. Like, I don't know, somebody's trying to hurt my family. Okay, I see that as a justification to curse. Or I don't know, I wake up in the middle of the night and then I stub my pinky toe, you know? I see myself cursing at that time. I could go, son of a bitch, ow, you know?
What does it mean if you stub your pinky toe?
You know, like, it's like when you kick, you know, your pinky toe is the smallest toe that you have on your foot, okay? When you stub it, you kind of kick a wall or a piece of furniture with it accidentally, and it really hurts. You know, when that happens in the middle of the night. So, you know, if that happens to you, I think it's okay to curse. That you are expressing that anger or frustration in the moment. Because, you know, I do believe that sometimes it is actually healthy for us to express maybe or to vent, you know, some anger or frustration that we are feeling. And we are humans after all. But these are situations that don't happen often. They tend to be rare. So in those moments, okay, I think that it's okay to curse. But, you know, what I don't like is people who curse all the time just for the sake of cursing. I don't know, just because they're trying to be cool or funny. You don't have to curse a lot all the time to be cool.
And when you do that all the time, those words really lose their power in a sense. Because if you only do it when you really hurt yourself or someone does something to your daughter while you're at the playground, or, you know, something like that, that is really deserving of some strong language, then if you're just using it all the time, you have a sailor's mouth and you're using it in every other sentence, then when you actually want to use it in a strong way, people won't really take it that way. So, and you know, people might not want to spend so much time around you if you're cursing all the time anyway, depending on what crowds you roll with. You mentioned son of a bitch, which I imagine most people have heard that at some point. I thought that this was a really important one to point out because of the connected speech, because natives will almost never say son of a bitch. We'll say son of a bitch. So we have a couple of schwas there in the of, and the a turns to an a, and we sort of link it all together, right? Son of a bitch, son of a bitch. And you can find it even more connected into dropping oftentimes of, right? We just turn into a schwa altogether, like a. So it can become son of a bitch with a double schwa sound there in the middle.
Oh my, let me try that. Son of a bitch, son of a bitch.
Exactly, yeah.
I even heard it in the plural in some movies. You know, in some movies, I think I remember listening in the plural form, like sons of bitches. You sons of bitches. Like that, you know?
You could even say sons of bitches. Sons of bitches, if you wanted to reduce it even more.
Sons of, right?
Mm-hmm. So sometimes you'll even, like I mentioned, the woman who's from the south of England uses this word a lot more than I would, for example. And you might find some people that even use this term to refer to friends. I think nowadays, maybe it's not so common. We could actually share, I remember a clip from Predator where Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, calls the guy he hasn't seen his friend in a long time. He says, "Oh, you son of a bitch." And it's used in an endearing way, right? A caring way. So there's some people who might use it this way, but that movie is from the 80s. So maybe nowadays it's become a less common practice.
Dylan! You son of a bitch.
Another interesting use of the word bitch is that maybe you stub your toe, or it could be even something lighter that happens, right? Like maybe you miss your bus and you start bitching about it, that you had to wait another 10 minutes to catch the next bus, for example. What does it mean if you... So it's a verb. Obviously, what does it mean if you bitch about something?
Yeah, now as a verb, when you bitch about something, you complain about it. That actually reminds me of a song from Elton John called Bitches Back, or The Bitches Back. And I think in that song, if I remember correctly, the chorus goes something like, "I can bitch better than you," something like that, you know? So, you know, he's using the word bitch there as a verb.
He uses it, I think, several different ways in that song even. I think he calls himself a bitch, which I'm not sure exactly what his intentions are there, but I think it's used in an empowering way, which even nowadays you can find women that have sort of repurposed this word for an empowering sense. Like you can say that she's a badass bitch, like she's a really empowered, strong, powerful woman. I remember too, from The Simpsons, there's a really great scene that stuck with me since I was a teenager, that the grandfather, Homer Simpson's father, does something like he loses the kids or something, and Homer's complaining about it and stuff, and he just says, "Oh, bitch, bitch, bitch. Like, you know, stop your complaining."
"We leave you to kids for 3 hours and the county takes them away?
Oh, bitch, bitch, bitch."
I think this is also, if you use it as a verb, or you use it to say that someone's complaining in that way, that it's not quite as, you know, it's obviously not as strong as if you call someone a bitch in an insulting way. So we recently did an episode all about values, and Thiago said that one of his biggest values is resilience, which you might also say is to not be bitching about something, right?
yeah, that's true. Yeah. So if you are resilient, you tend not to complain so much. You just, you know, you take responsibility for your life and the problems and obstacles you face, and you just roll with it. By the way, if you guys want to listen to that full episode, we're going to link it in the description below. And it's a very nice conversation that Ethan and I have about our values. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, not bitching. Yeah. I mean, this is important to me. I try not to do it. Yeah. Of course, sometimes I do it a little bit because, you know, I'm human. Yeah. but, you know, overall, I try not to do it. And if I catch myself bitching about something too much, I immediately stop. Hey, Charlie, stop the whining. Stop whining, stop bitching, you know, come on, man. Get a grip, right?
Might say like, even if you want to be more, in fact, stop your bitching and moaning. So we'll say these two together, bitching and moaning.
Bitching and moaning. Nice.
Mm-hmm. Like a moan is like, you know, you're making those kind of drawn out sounds that show your dissatisfaction with something that's happened, right? You could even, if you're not comfortable with using bitching and stuff, you might want to use a non-vulgar alternative, like whining. I think you already mentioned that, right? Stop your whining. Or maybe if you're learning British English, you could say stop your whinging. So we've talked about bitch as a noun. We've talked about it as a verb. We've talked about it as an expression, like son of a bitch. But we also mentioned that you could use it as an adjective. So one way we might do this is if someone is complaining a lot or someone is saying bad things, right, about like a comment or a behavior or something like that, then you could say that that person's being bitchy.
Right. Being bitchy. Nice.
Very similar to the example before from The Simpsons with the guy talking about the celebrity and stuff. You could also say not just that he was being a bitch. You could say he's being bitchy. He's not being very nice. He's saying bad things.
That sounds very similar to bitching. So bitching and bitching, right?
But we shouldn't confuse the two because bitching actually has almost the opposite meaning. It's it's positive, right? So what does it mean if you say something's bitching?
It's cool. Like, oh, this is such a bitching movie. Like, it's cool. It's awesome.
Bitchin' ride, man. Yeah, there's a great example from Friends, again, as far as we're mentioning series, where I think it's the first time, right, where Ross plays the keyboards. It's like something he did when he was young, and then he wants to come back to making music and stuff, and so he plays for the other friends, and it's maybe we can just like show a short part of that, but it's really bad. It's really bad. So they don't want to be mean to him or anything, and they're just aghast, right? They don't know what to say. They're left without words. And so I think Chandler, right, his response is just bitchin'.
Really bitchin'.
And something important to notice here, you might have heard that both Thiago and I said bitchin', not bitching, because if we say it with the G at the end, it's only if we're saying like bitching and moaning, like complaining, right? But if we say it as an adjective, we always drop that G. We always say bitchin'.
That also reminds me of another clip from Two and a Half Men where the kid walks in Charlie's house and he goes, bitchin' house, man. You should rent it to MTV. And then, oh, yeah, that's a cool house you have.
A bitchin' house, man. You should rent it to MTV.
You know what else is bitchin'?
What else is bitchin'?
The Real Life app, of course, is probably the most bitchin' place to practice your English because it's the only place where anytime, anywhere you are, as long as you have an internet connection, of course, you can simply press a button and connect to another English speaker in another part of the world for an illuminating, interesting conversation. Don't curse too much. You know, you don't want to be the person with a sailor's mouth that's going around talking to different people. We don't condone that. But, you know, maybe bitchin' could be a good one to teach someone else. You know, if something's really awesome, you can say, oh, that's bitchin'. And you'll sound like the cool kid on the block. So we wanted to share a shout out. Say some special words to a very special app user, right?
All right, so the shout out goes to Emra. And Emra says, these guys know how to teach English in a convenient way. After a while, I've started to feel them as my friends. Thanks, Ethan, Cassie, and Thiago. The app and your YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, are my favorite channels for practicing English on a daily basis. In the morning, I prefer the app, since I can close my eyes and listen to you. In the evenings, I need more funny or fun content, so I prefer the YouTube channel and have fun while practicing English. Awesome! Thank you so much. That's amazing.
Emra, thanks so much for taking the time to leave us a 5-star review. And if you leave us a 5-star review after you've tried out the app, then we might just shout you out as well. All right, and finally, as we mentioned, we could not do this episode without talking about the Bitch King himself, Jesse Pinkman from Breaking Bad. So let's roll a clip from that.
And for those of you who are listening to the audio version of the podcast, let me give you some context. This is a very short clip with many random phrases that Jesse says during the series Breaking Bad. He's famous for speaking or saying the word bitch a lot throughout the series, so there is this funny compilation here of random phrases where he uses this word.
Whatever, you little bitch.
Have at it, bitches, because I love
Hot dogs.
Cue ball, son of a bitch, laughed in my face.
I'm not your bitch to order around. Bitches are bleeding us enough already.
Yeah, this is gonna help big time with that. Bitch!
That's hilarious.
So one thing I think that we could start by talking about is the way that he says this word is so emphatic, because how he puts so much emphasis, he puts so much energy into the B part of it, like the bitch, like really strong B at the beginning, right?
It's very peculiar. Yeah, I mean, he has a very special way of saying this word. It's hard to emulate.
What does it mean to emulate something?
To imitate, to do it like he's doing in this case.
Exactly. Yeah. It's so natural for him. I think it's actually, they've done interviews with the actor, and this is actually something that comes out of maybe his own lingo, his own language that he uses when he speaks. So it probably just came out so natural for him, right?
Yeah, probably has, right?
So there's some interesting different expressions he uses here. So he says, have at it, bitches, which I think there's actually some nice connected speech there. Have at it with the American T there in the middle.
Have at it, bitches.
Have at it, bitches. What does it mean? Like, have at it.
So like, you know, keep doing whatever it is you're doing. Yeah. In this context here, he's talking about hot dogs, how hot dogs are disgusting, like the way they are made. But he loves hot dogs. So he says, have at it, bitches, because I love hot dogs. So keep making hot dogs, you know, this way, because, you know, they're good.
Yeah. I think you could also use this if you're, for example, there's a lot of food on the table. You could say, have at it, like eat whatever you want. And then he says, and there's another one, he's on a payphone, actually. And he said, cue ball, son of a bitch, laughed in my face.
Cue ball, son of a bitch, laughed in my face.
So what does it mean if, cue ball, what does that mean?
You can call a bald person that. Someone who doesn't have hair, cue ball.
Right. And this actually comes from, I believe it's in, you know, in billiards or in pool, like a pool table. We call, I believe it's the white ball, the one that you use to shoot the other balls, is called the cue ball. So maybe because the, you know, someone who's bald has like a shiny head. This is obviously not a compliment. It's insulting to call someone a cue ball.
It's not a compliment, yeah.
And he might be referring to Heisenberg, right? Who is bald, or Hank, another character who's bald. And son of a bitch, as we talked about the connected speech, laughed in my face. What does it mean if you laugh in someone's face?
I think it's the literal sense here. Yeah. Like, you make fun of that person. You maybe even humiliate that person in public by laughing at that person. You're not laughing with the person. You're laughing at that person. The person is the subject of mockery.
So what's the difference there between laughing at someone and laughing with someone?
I guess here on the podcast, we always laugh with each other, right? I mean, when we have fun together, somebody makes a funny comment and then we laugh together. Yeah. This is us laughing with each other. But if you laugh at someone, you are making fun of that person. You are publicly or deliberately putting that person down.
So he used another use of bitch here, right? That we saw before, which is like the one, if you're wanting to make someone your inferior, for example, you're wanting to make them subservient to you, like your servant, or you're their master or something in that sense. He says, I'm not your bitch to order around.
I'm not your bitch to order around.
So what does it mean to order someone around?
Imagine a person who is very bossy and likes to always tell people what to do all the time. This person is very controlling. We can say that this person likes to order around.
And you used a nice word there. You said bossy. Bossy is someone who does this, right? They order people around. And we can also use the phrasal verb to boss around, which is, it means the same thing.
Nice.
And then maybe just take one more of the examples from here. So he says, this is going to help big time with that bitch.
Yeah, this is going to help big time with that bitch.
So how is he using bitch here?
As an insult, yeah. And I think he's even talking to his mother. You know, in that clip, if I remember correctly, yeah, because, you know, his mother is kind of kicking him out of the house because, you know, he has a drug problem. So he's actually insulting his mom there. Yeah.
It's going to help big time with his addiction or something like that, being kicked out of his house.
Exactly. Yeah.
I imagine. Yeah. Don't call your mother a bitch. It's not, that's not good. And what does it mean big time? It's going to help big time.
Like, it's going to help a lot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's an informal way, cool way to say a lot. It's an intensifier, yeah?
Yeah. And he's so interesting because he'll even use bitch as like an endearing term. We talked earlier that you can use son of a bitch for this. And, you know, Jesse Pinkman even will use this to refer to people in a way that's supposed to be not as an insult, but, you know, as a way to refer to friends or colleagues or so on.
I think
so.
He calls his friends in the show bitches. Yo, mm-hmm. bitches, you know?
Yeah. And the tone's so important too, right? If you say like, yo, bitches, like it's a friendly way of saying, but if you're calling someone like bitch, then it's like a downward tone, right? It's insulting the person. So let's jump into today's big challenge. All right, so we shared a lot of clips and memories that Thiago and I have with different places we've heard the word used in different ways. So we're really curious, dear learner, about, you know, where you've heard this word used. If you have any memories attached to series or movies or songs, or maybe even when you heard that you're not quite sure even how it was used, what did it mean in that context? So, you know, if you want to comment that down below, we might even be able to help you out to better understand. And we'd love to hear your memories, your bitchy memories. Or if you are just listening to the audio, of course, you can email us at hello@reallifeglobal.com. All right. So before we wrap up, was there any final words you wanted to say, Thiago?
About this topic, just be careful, guys. You know, I think, it is nice for you to know these different uses of this word, mm-hmm. bitch. But, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean we're not telling you to go out there and start using this word freely. Yeah. But, you know, it is important from an educational standpoint for us to teach you this stuff so that you know what they mean, yeah, in those different situations.
Even if you're against using this word, other people are not. They are going to use it. So, you know, it is important that you can understand them if they do. But I think before we wrap up, we wanted to give a final thanks to some of our recent commenters, some of the recent participants in another big challenge, right?
Yeah. So, you know, we've recently done an episode about accents, and it was a great conversation Ethan and I had. And mm-hmm. at the end of that episode, we asked you guys, is it important for you to sound like a native? Has your mind changed after listening to this episode? And some of you have responded. Joyce, for example, said, I don't want to sound like a native. I just want to speak clearly. I want to be understood. Ty says, I always improve my accent every day because I want to speak like a native speaker. Improving accent helps me a lot in my life. Antonio said, I think you don't need to speak like a native. The most important thing is that you speak and the people understand what you said. Hello from Brazil. Hello, Antonio. And Pablo says, I want to sound like a native to be more confident when I'm talking to someone and to allow the other person to feel more confident talking to me. Okay. And finally, Drago says, hi. After this video, I'm not interested in sounding like a native speaker anymore because you have changed my mind. I want other people around me to be able to understand me. Nice comments, guys. Thank you.
That was fantastic. So again, we look forward to seeing your guys' comments down below, and maybe we'll feature it on a future episode. That said, thanks so much for joining us today. And we hope that this has been an enlightening real life experience. And we look forward to seeing you, hearing from you on the next episode of the Real Life English Podcast. 1, 2, 3. Aww, yeah.
Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.